Welcome
to Change Agents Radio. I'm utterly excited here because I'm sitting in the back of the two most important people in the business who are sitting in the front of it, and one of them's just arrived here on a bus from Cape Town. Justin Plunkett, welcome to Cork.
Well, thank you so much.
How was the coach journey?
I was lapsing between consciousness and unconsciousness, and there were these sort of moments when I wasn't quite sure which was which.
You know, how many hours have you been traveling?
I guess it's now just over 24 hours. Wow. But of course, like spending time, you know, arriving in Dubai in the middle of the night. No, it wasn't quite the middle of the night. It was probably about, it was actually about 7, and I had about 15 minutes to navigate through Dubai Airport, which was monstrously huge.
Just one second, Justin, sorry. Hang a right here, Jonathan. Yeah, hang a right here.
Right there?
You can't hang a right here, actually. No. We're forced. You can't. Don't even try. We have to follow the traffic. We're in a one-way zone
system
here. Yeah.
Cork is famous for its one-way
system. Is it sort of one of those places where you go around in circles for a while until you get the right
place?
But it looks beautiful. I'm surprised at the size of the river. It's a whole lot bigger than I could have imagined.
Well, there's actually two rivers there. So this is the one, and then there's the other one on the other side, which is where Electric is.
And where is this? Where is the sea in relation to us? Down that way?
No, behind your back.
Oh, it's behind. Okay.
Actually, it's the same river which has got two channels. And you are now on the island.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about.
Actually, come back to Dubai. Sorry, Justin.
Had you
been there before?
I'd been in Dubai many, many, many years ago, and I lived in Bahrain. But the airport was probably at that point a dot in comparison to the size of it now. Hmm. I mean, it's overwhelming how huge it is. I don't know if you've been through there recently, but it's. As a matter of fact, while watching one of
straight ahead.
While watching one of many movies on the airplanes, they. Doing a promo on a National Geographic show about, you know, the super airport. You know, it's so big. There were thousands, you know, like I think it was like 60,000 staff trying, you know, helping people. It's, you know, every language under the sun, basically. But before that, I think that probably the most interesting part of where this also started was Home Affairs. And Home Affairs was really kind of an opportunity that...
What did you say this place is called?
The Department of Home Affairs, which
is where you get South Africa.
Which is where you get your passports and visas and so forth. Now, you know the dramas that I had with them. But now, outside of the dramas, it did occur to me the significance of spending time in a place that is the kind of cultural and... It's the validation space of your home, and
it's kind of like
sort
what
of standing,
it really
is. Yeah, sort of standing there in the Department of Home Affairs, this place that is, you know, validates this country as your home. It was then quite interesting to kind of observe all these peers, all these fellow brothers and sisters, you know, the people that share this home with you, and it was quite interesting. So it was sort of such a wild mix of all sorts. You know, there was this one absolutely beautiful. I think she was a Somalian woman.
Hang a right here.
You know, in a burqa, and she had the most beautiful profile. Sort of very conservative Muslim family, and then there would be like, you know, this.
Stay in the right lane.
You know, big mama, you know, big Corsa mama, and then this wild mix of actually something really strange happened to me. I was sort of sitting next to this this young coloured couple, and coloured is its own race in South Africa,
right?
And black is also not a derogatory word.
No, but now one of the sort of the cultural sort of oddities, I guess, or curiosities with the coloured culture is knocking out the front two teeth, and it sort of, as I understood, it sort of started off as being kind of a gang a gang-related sort of mark of toughness. Mm. So the guys, you know, missing their two front teeth would be respectable, you know.
Really? They had actually survived a fight?
They'd survived the fight, and then they would actually quite consciously choose to have these two teeth removed. And then some of the younger girls would also do that. And while I was sort of sitting there, I'm sitting next to this young couple, and this girl, very pretty, and suddenly, like, I noticed that her front two front teeth, she's obviously got, like, a false, like, bridge or whatever, keeping these two false teeth in, and like, it was sort of dislodged. She was sort of playing with it, with her tongue or something. And it was really strange. Like, just at that moment, I looked at her.
Left lane, left center.
And her mouth was open, and she had these two, like, detached, skewed teeth, like, wow, sticking out. She's a very, very attractive girl. And it was so strange. I'd never seen that before.
Do you think that was a deliberate act?
And then
she kind of plugged the hole with...
I guess she was just sort of playing with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, but overall, it did sort of, I was quite present with the sort of significance of this place being, you know, the home validation point. Mm. And, it certainly never occurred to me before, and I sort of thought, well, you know, if I'm ever there again, I'd like to actually really kind of document this, see who these people are that share my home.
Would you document it by sketching it? Is that your way? Or document it by writing it? Or would you document it by talking to people? Or what would be your way?
I'd probably write it.
Yeah.
If I had my camera out, I might sort of surreptitiously take a few pictures, but it tends to be a little bit more...
Did you bring your camera with you?
Yeah, definitely.
What is your camera?
I've got a Canon 5D Mark II, so it's quite a nice...
A proper camera.
It's.
A real McCoy.
Yeah, but don't be fooled. I'm a bit of a charlatan when it comes to, you know, it's a phenomenal camera, and it takes, you can pretty much close your eyes and take a beautiful picture with the camera. But I'm not technically a good photographer in terms of, like, knowing how to use the camera, knowing all of the little features. Obviously, through years of illustration and doing art and so on and so forth, I know how to compose imagery and make decent imagery, but I would never claim to be a photographer. Particularly as I was related to, my late brother was one of the best photographers in Cape Town, or actually in South Africa.
Yes. It's humbling, isn't it, to find yourself in the company of somebody who is really a great photographer.
And his friends, you know, just so much talent. Look at that.
This is a very interesting Art Deco building.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Just passing the Gresham Metropole Hotel.
A lot of the Cork Jazz Festival.
Oh, yeah, they're the centre, aren't they, of the Jazz Festival.
Wow, that's pretty glamorous.
Yeah. But tell me, Justin, you then, the time you arrived in Dubai, it would have been dark there, straight on,
no,
Jonathan,
actually,
and actually move into the left lane and go up the hill.
This one?
Yeah. I don't mean just stay in the left lane.
We actually ran a bit late.
You better indicate.
By the time we arrived, I had absolutely no time to get to my my transfer flight. I think originally I was supposed to have an hour.
2 hours, was it?
Or yeah, or something like that. Yeah. 2 hours waiting around, but they were really on final boarding call, and so I was sort of rushing through this.
Did you have to run? Did you have to run through Dubai Airport?
No, I didn't. I didn't run, but I was certainly. I was rushing. You know, it said final call. There's usually this sort of point where they kind of start calling people out by name, saying, you know, where the hell are you, Mr. Plunkett?
Mr. Plunkett. Kids on the plane.
And certainly at one point, like in the rush, there was a guy who was calling out Dublin and another airline. So it was like, yes, Dublin. He said, points that way, go. So it was it was quite tight.
And was that because the plane ran a bit late from South Africa?
Yeah.
So you then took off out of Dubai, and how long in the air to get to Dublin?
I have absolutely no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I've sort of been in this sort of strange purgatory place of half consciousness for the last, like,
so you haven't been watching three movies.
I actually watched. I watched quite a good documentary on Hopper.
Dennis Hopper.
Yeah,
the painter.
No, yeah, Dennis Hopper.
Oh wow! Yeah.
And then also another really good documentary on WikiLeaks.
Oh, wow.
And
not the movie.
Well,
Fifth Estate.
Do you have a choice on the plane to watch a documentary?
They've actually got, they've got an impressive entertainment system. I must be honest. I mean, they had at least two dozen of the sort of newest movie releases. They had classic movies. They had children's movies. They had a couple of documentaries. It was and of course each of them working independently of the other. You basically tapping into a massive hard drive and watching movies as you wish. They had like TV series, a surprisingly good selection of music, sort of like the must-have collections, everything from like Bob Dylan to Zeppelin to like David Bowie.
Ah.
I
wonder if they run that off Spotify.
They've got this. They've got this. They've obviously heavily invested in this system that they called ICE.
And this is what Emirates is, it?
Emirates, yeah. Look, I mean, I've got to give it to them. Emirates were really, really good. They were really so incredibly helpful, particularly in Cape Town. At one point, I don't think I'd be exaggerating to say that there were between 9 and 13, 14 people assisting me on the telephones, front office, back office, phoning Barcelona, trying to kind of confirm that I could in fact go through Barcelona, because the first flight you understood that I couldn't take because it was through Manchester and I would have needed a transit visa, but then the travel agent booked me on the Barcelona one.
So right turn here, John.
Well, you also needed one.
Technically I wouldn't, not a transit visa, but Emirates were really on the ball, and they were, and they thought that there was a possibility, because I was changing airlines, that I might need to actually change terminals, in which case I may need to leave one terminal going into the country to get to the second terminal from which to leave. And this was the sort of second point where the travel agent completely messed it up, and it was really due to their diligence, that ultimately they confirmed the fact that I couldn't take that flight either, and that was then when I had to sort of at that point sort of accept that I wasn't flying out on Tuesday.
Did you actually come through Barcelona or not?
No.
All right. So it was straight from Dubai to Dublin?
Yeah, correct.
And that was your first experience of Dublin?
I've never been to Ireland before.
So any first impressions? Very first ones?
To be honest with you, it felt very much like any major city. Obviously, as we sort of started driving into the city, I could then sort of pick up a lot more character. And of course, I've never been around so many Irish people. And it's really funny, of course, to, to sort of see, a people and to, to kind of, you get certain impressions. You sort of recognize, that I suppose, particularly, each nation has certain traits, and sometimes it's quite genetic, and you can actually see a face that is distinctly Irish. I saw sort of one or two faces, and I was like, that is the most Irish face I can possibly. If I had to draw an Irish face, that's the face I would have drawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then such a sort of, I was struck by the youth. The Dublin was just full of lots of young cool people, you know, ranging from like really cool stylish to like a couple of proper yobs. And, you know, it's just a, you know, obviously a nice cultural...
Did you get to overhear any talking or get to speak to any of them?
Not really. I was sort of, I must say, when I was leaving the plane, entering Dublin, there were a pair behind me and they were speaking really fast. And it was quite entertaining. It was sort of, I guess it was a really kind of thick, thick accent, to the point where I wasn't actually sure I could follow everything that they were saying. But it's a beautiful lyrical, accent, I suppose.
There are, by the way, a whole load of Irish accents you could not possibly understand. And,
yeah.
Even as somebody was born in Ireland, I'd have difficulty with some of them, you know.
I totally believe it.
You know, yeah. That'll be quite interesting to see how you get on with understanding. And there are some phrases, of course, which might be different, you know.
So, and, of course, you know, being exposed to the signage and see the Gaelic, which is obviously mystifying. the letters just don't seem to kind of give any indication as to how it would be pronounced. No, not even the meaning, but it's like, it's just like, you know, there's no intuitive
left,
way to kind of
left
work
and
out
then right.
how it would sound.
Yeah, yeah. I have a niece, and her name is spelt, and I'd be very interested to see how you would pronounce this. I've won a lot of money over this.
Right.
Turn right here, Jonathan. S-A-D-H-B-H.
S-A-D-H...
B-H.
Oh, my God. S-A-D-H... B-H.
Now, I've actually, you know, won a few pints in my time in a pub saying, I'll give you, you know, three or five
S-A-D-H-B-H.
Guesses.
D-H-B-H.
Now, it's actually a reasonably,
reasonably
common is too strong a word.
It's something like Sadie.
No. What did you say?
Sadie. Sadie.
There's a one of the, one of the... bits of what you said is actually on the right track. The V at the end, kind of.
V?
I thought I picked up a kind of a V,
V
sound,
oh, right.
A V.
Yeah. That's right, because you've got Niamh,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's an M-H at the end.
M-H.
But there's a B-H is also...
And that's something completely different.
Yeah.
That's
well, it's actually, B-H is...
I'm never going to guess.
Yeah, no, you won't, no. I'll tell you, it's Scythe.
Scythe. Wow, a beautiful name.
Scythe, yeah.
Scythe.
S-A-D-H-B-H.
Wow, there's just no way. I mean,
yeah,
how on earth did you get to that?
Yeah.
Scythe.
One vowel.
Yeah. Oh, and does that originate from a Gaelic word?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What would it mean?
Oh, don't ask me. It's probably the god of I don't know.
Confusing names.
The feminine god of wisdom or the feminine god of, you know, vanquishing the opposition or something.
Right.
I'm not quite sure what it is, you know. I'm not sure if Scythe is historically in Gaelic culture a change agent or not, but
we need to
find that out, of course.
Is it a common name?
It's not an uncommon name, put it that way. A lot of people here wouldn't blink if they heard somebody was Scythe, you know, and
right.
they had a Scythe in their extended family.
Right.
It wouldn't be half as common as, you know, or as popular as Mary and Anne and,
right.
you know, Patricia and other names. I don't know what other ones there are.
Siobhan,
all of those.
Niamh, and at the end of that strange what? Spelling. You know?
You'd like to meet a Niamh?
Yeah. No, I just always loved the name.
Oh, yeah, Niamh, yeah.
We can tweet
yeah.
that out.
Yeah.
You can what?
Tweet it out.
Yeah. Tweet it out.
You take the next right turn, Jonathan. Right turn down the hill. Okay, well, Justin, look, welcome to Ireland.
Ah, thank you so
much. It's wonderful to have our, I'm going to call you our head of design for want of another term, actually. I'm not sure, neither of us are heads of anything, but you have a head anyway, and it contains. It's a real wonderful treat to have you here with us, and,
wonderful, thank you for your kind
there
words.
We are,
and
so we've just,
welcome.
We have a historic, so, yeah. We have a historic recording, really, you know. Take a left in here, Jonathan, please. And, okay, All the best. Thank you very much, Justin Blunkett from Cape Town. Car being driven by Jonathan Arm from Joburg.
Expert chauffeur.